Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Save up to £8,000 on a brand new delivery mileage BMW. Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. I'm Steve Hothersall. 6:30 on a Friday and a Monday. It's always the Legends right here on Radio City. Sharpie never misses a show, never misses a trick. There he is in the blue corner, studying away studiously.
Yes.
And in the other corner, well, he's gone again. He seems to vanish on a rather regular basis, and we always replace him with a strapping centre half. And we've done that once again.
That's right, yeah.
It's true, isn't
that's
it?
That's true, yeah.
We had Lauro.
Marky
Wright.
Yeah.
And now we've got Mr. Matteo. Although someone said to me, Matteo.
That's correct.
What do you think, Dom? Matteo?
It's correct. Matteo is the correct pronunciation.
Matteo, because where's the family from?
Italy, obviously. But I was going to see what a question that is. Poland.
Where in Italy? I was
the only commentator used to actually get it right was John Motson, believe it or not. The rest of them was just Matteo.
Yeah.
Let me turn you up a bit, hang on.
But
there
we go. John Motson was the one who used to always get it right, believe it or not.
John Motson, and that's because he generally gets everything wrong.
Yeah.
So just by default, he got that right.
Yeah.
Matteo. But it's nice to have you in here today.
It's great.
I did a Liverpool under 21 game with you the other day, and we had a great chat just watching the boys then. So brilliant replacement for Aldo. And I thought we'd start the show off today. Obviously, we got bombarded with upset blues on Monday. So we're hoping that the Reds might just come on the lines a little bit more this week.
Upset blues, they were just coming and talking the truth.
Oh, let's face it, they were a little bit, edgy.
Bit
prickly with things Sharpie on Monday. We want you again. Of course we do. 4720967. We're going to try and balance it a bit with the Reds. We didn't get any Reds really talking about that Man United game.
They're still asleep.
It's another weekend of fun that lies ahead. Right, we have got Dominic Matteo, or Matteo's book. Here it is. It's beautiful. In my defence, we'll give it away straight away. The autobiography. And we found a question straight away. Sharpie opened it up. And what did you find on the page that you opened up, Sharpie?
Page 112.
And what is it?
I saw a picture. It looks like a fancy dress picture. Dom's in there.
Yeah.
Alongside two other players. And we dropping a quiz in this.
Well, we may as well. 4720967. You can win this straight away.
Well, one of the players, it's obviously in the Leeds United days. So he was an England international. Played for Leeds.
Okay, hang on. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
I'll just turn you around a bit.
He was England international, played for Leeds. He's wearing a skirt. He's wearing stockings and suspenders on.
I did organise this party, by the way.
By the way, this isn't Dom we're talking about. Dom is dressed as a
schoolboy.
Schoolboy.
Naughty schoolboy.
Naughty schoolboy. And the man next to you is a very famous player who, as Sharpie said, played for United
Leeds. Great player.
You're just giving that away. I never said United.
Did you not?
No.
Sorry. Oh. He's dressed in a skirt. Was he a good lad?
Very good lad, great player, great to play with. Really good player to play with. Amazing ability. And to be honest, when we played together, it made my life easy because we read the game so well and we kind of hit it off as a partnership. But great, great football. I mean, he went on to be one of the best players, in my opinion, defenders that have been in the Premier League so far.
Was that the only time you ever saw him in a skirt?
do I have to answer that one?
Moving quickly
quickly, yeah.
Just a very quick one, because the funny thing about this book is whatever page you open it up at, you sort of go, really?
Yeah.
And I opened up another page and it said, you can't move for parties these days. I remember one player's night out at Christmas when Robbie Fowler was photographed asleep in the front of a taxi and it made the front pages. Can you just tell us about this story?
We're obviously on the way home and we stopped off at the garage to get some supplies on the way home. And obviously, going in at 3 or 4 in the morning, you can only get like sausage rolls and the usual ginsters, whatever it is, stuff. And I'd left Robbie in the taxi. We're going back to the hotel, and obviously being followed by reporters or whatever it was at the time, and obviously taking a photo of Robbie in the back of the cab or the front of the cab. And obviously, I've gone to get the pies, and on my way back, I just seen them taking the photos. But
Robbie absolutely conked out in the front seat.
He was tired, bless him.
Brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Right, if you want a copy of that book, 0151 4720967. We'll get Dom to sign it and we'll give that one away. Let's get on with the show. And, of course, we want your calls as well on any of the topics. Liverpool win against Exeter midweek with the youngsters. Everton, we didn't really reflect last week, Sharpie, on Stephen Naismith. Not to any length, leaving the football club. How big a loss for Everton?
Yeah, he's a loss, but you know what? I can understand the reasons why he's left. He's one of those who's an old-fashioned footballer who just wants to play week in, week out. You know, he trains, works his socks off during the week, and wants to play. Obviously, the manager couldn't give him that and guarantee that he was going to play week in, week out. So, you know, I think the manager's been fair with him as well. He's allowed him to go to Norwich. I don't know. He's been suffering from an ankle injury recently, so I'm not sure if he's going to be fit and available to play against Liverpool. But I tell you what, if he does, he'll be up for it, you know, because he'll give you 100% commitment and he'll chase, and he's irritating at times. But he was a good servant for Everton, you know, and he goes with everybody's best wishes. Done a lot of good work off the field as well with charities and everything else. A real grounded guy. So we wish him all the best. But he'll be looking to put one over in Liverpool if he plays tomorrow.
It's horrible, that, isn't it, Dom, when you see from a Liverpool perspective, because I think he'll score tomorrow.
Yeah, if he plays, he probably will. I mean, to be honest, I'm going to go on what Graham said. Every time I've seen him play for Everton, he was excellent and worked his socks off for a team, real team player, I think, on and off the field, which is, you need them kind of people in your dressing room as well as being great on the field. You need some leaders off, and he looked like he was that as well. But you can only wish him all the best. Mm. Hopefully not tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise you. You know, sometimes it works out that way in life. You go somewhere and you end up getting the winner or something stupid. Let's just hope it, like I say, it's not tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Tomorrow afternoon.
All right. If you want to get a call in on that, 4720967. The Reds, of course, winning in the FA Cup midweek, beating Exeter, and the youngsters looking pretty good. Who sort of shone for you, Dom? Who did you like?
I mean, obviously, the obvious one we go off is Jordan Ibe. I think he's been decent, but he's probably not classed as a young lad anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think they all did okay in spells. Sorry, mate. Sorry. I think Jurgen Klopp hit it on the nail on the head after the game when he was in his interviews, that he basically said that they've all got a lot to learn and they're all in the learning curve and they're all young boys, and let's keep them all grounded. Let's get some games into them when we can. And I think just to get that game experience in a full house at Anfield in a cup was really good learning curve for all of them. So I think they all come out of it with experience. You know, they've been to that first game at Exeter, which was a tough game to go to as a young player. You know, not too many older heads in the team. And they got through it just. It was a tough one to get out of. And then obviously at Anfield, they did the job properly. But, you know, at times it was a difficult night. And next thing, you know, 1-0, they've always got a chance. But, you know, near the end to finish it off with a couple of nice goals was nice for the team.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant for the kids, you know, to play in front of the crowd that they did do. And I thought, all credit for the supporters who turned out, you know, knowing it was going to be a reserve team, youth team kind of thing. And
it was cheaper prices, which was good.
But
15,
even that, Steve, you know, to turn out for that kind of thing, you know, I think it's great. And for the kids, the experience they would have gained from playing probably the biggest crowd a lot and have played, you know, before. So it gives them experience as well. Once it came to replay, always thought the Liverpool would win. Was a surprise that he played so many youngsters? I think it probably was. I thought he might have put a
he
few
was brave.
More. Yeah, I thought he might have put a few more experienced players in there, but he didn't do it. But the youngsters came through well. Obviously, Joe Allen scores the first goal, you know, settles everybody down. But, you know, convincing victories. So I think a lot of positives to take from the performance and everything that goes with it.
Best moment of the night for me, I watched John Flanagan come on and, you know, everyone behind him went ballistic. Yeah. And it sort of showed, Dom, and you know this more than anything, because you were at the club at a time when there was loads of sort of local connection with crowd. And now it doesn't really exist, obviously, with Gerrard and Carragher leaving.
Of course.
But Flanagan, when he came on, it said to me, gosh, don't the crowd want that local connection to still exist?
I think for so many years they've had that local connection. Obviously, like the two players you just mentioned with the Carragers and the Gerrards of this world have been such big influences on the club. We really need someone like Flano back in the side or around the side, who's a local boy, you know, grew up just by the ground, knows the place inside out, and he can pass little bits of information on to the lads coming in, who know the city. He knows the city better than anyone. He knows how you've got to be around the place. And that's what kind of the job that Stevie and Carragher did, as well as being players there. They led off the field as well. You know, there's got to be someone who leads off the field in that dressing room, and maybe he can be the one that does that. But great to see him back on the pitch.
Yeah.
Awful injury that the lad's got, you know, and this hopefully he can stay injury-free now and get plenty of games under his belt.
It's a problem when you're that young and you get that sort of injury, isn't it? I mean, Look, it's not easy at any time, but no, actually when not. you're very... I wonder whether he actually thought, will I ever play again, will I play at Liverpool or anywhere else?
Well, I think there's question marks, and I think if you ask the fans, they'd be thinking the same as well. But, you know, you've got to give him a lot of credit for fighting through that, and hopefully, touch wood, everything's all right, and he goes on now and establishes himself back in the first team picture. But, you know, he's been through a lot, you know, and mentally as well, to try and push yourself back to get to the level where he once were before. So fair play to him. He's worked extremely hard to get the appearance under his belt. He'll be looking to kick on now. And, you know, obviously a fully fit, you know, Flanagan is a bonus to Jurgen Klopp.
This is the Radio City Legends. It's 6:40. Dominic Matteo's with us tonight. Are you still in touch with a few of the former lads from the 90s? Who are you still mates with? Well,
Rays is my obvious one. We were big pals. But I seen Stevie G before Christmas. I had a good catch-up with Stevie. Not seen him for a number of years, and it was good to catch up with him. You know, he said he's loving life out in Beverly Hills, wherever he's living now.
You had a funny story about that, didn't you? You were saying about how you're all comparing where you live.
Yeah, I was like near Leeds, Halifax. Razor was like Kent, and he was like Beverly Hills.
And from there, we'll go to Norris Green. Steve's our first caller tonight, and he's a blue. How are you, Steve?
I'm not a blue, behave yourself.
It says blue on my screen. I can only go with what Dave, the producer, is providing me with.
He's just putting on a bum stage there. No,
David. Like, go on, Steve. What do you want to talk about?
By the way, now Stevie G's a Beverly Hills Klopp.
That's brilliant.
Like that. That's the first one of the night. No, what it is, I want a quick word about the cup game during the week with all the young kids. Sharpie's just hit a point there about all the young lads getting the experience and stuff like that. And then when the camera went on to Sturridge, sitting there or watching the game on the screen in the stands, there's a lad who's going to miss out on getting experience there. I can't see him being at the club much longer because he's just becoming a liability now.
Okay, well, it's thrown up a big one there, hasn't it? Everyone's talking about Daniel Sturridge every week, the press conference. What do you think, Tom?
I mean, I think the fans deserve to know what's going on, really. I think Didier Mann said it, you know, it's been well documented in the press. I think that he's hit the nail on the head. You know, I don't even think the manager knows with Sturridge, is he going to be fit? I know the manager said 10 days that he could be back playing, but do any of us know that? You know, for sure. I mean, he said, you know, also...
What did he say the other week when he scored the two goals in the cup game, to fit the cup game, came back for the cup game, scored the two goals, and then when he got interviewed, Jürgen turned down and said, right, I know what Daniel Sturridge is about. Daniel Sturridge, since then, he's done nothing.
Yeah, I think you can't rely on him either, can you? Week in, week out, you need a centre forward in your team who's going to be fit every week, scoring your goals.
I honestly think he's going to give it to, like, say, the end of this season.
Yeah.
And then see what he... Because there is some good kids there with talent. And what are you saying the other night? If he works with them kids that have got the talent, then they've got a good chance. Where, you know, he hasn't seen what Danny Ings is like. Mm-hmm. So Danny Ings, to me, if you've got, like, say, Benteke not doing much, Daniel Sturridge not even wanting to have a game of football or anything like that. If he has them holds on, gets shot of them soon, then he can see like what Ings is like and give him to like say January of the next season. You know what I mean? From the start of September till January. And then he can work on stuff like that because Ings reminds me of a bit like a Robbie Keane where he breaks down play and he'll run everywhere for you. Where the likes of Sturridge, when Suarez was playing, Suarez was the worker.
Mm. Yeah, I think with Benteke as well. Obviously, the manager's highlighted that he's not a massive fan, but it's just, you know, with the size of him and the play of his stature, you know, you want him to be just whacking a few defenders, winning his headers, you know, creating little knockdowns into people's paths and laying things off. He's just not done that. And I think for as fans, if a player's not working as well, you can accept sometimes you have bad games, but he's not putting the work in. I think for the fans seeing that, you know, it's hard to take sometimes, especially the money these boys are getting paid.
Mm. I mean, the tough one is obviously Benteke's not doing it, and there's a question mark. You've got Ings who's injured, and Sturridge who's injured. It's the worst possible scenario. I mean, obviously in the days in the 90s when you were seeing Michael Owen have periods of injuries, he came back at least for periods, didn't he?
I mean, but Michael was one of those, he wanted to be on that field every single day. I think there's a different attitude, like with someone like Sturridge and Michael Owen's worlds apart, you know what I mean?
He's even got to go back to, like, say, Sharpie's day.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, them lads, Sharpie, the Ian Rushes of these with the world, this world and all that, them lads wanted to play football. Mm. He had a knock, he just got on with it.
Steve, that's the thing. He reminds me very much in recent years of Louis Saha when he was at Everton and at Manchester United, who was a fantastic player, you know, when he was fully fit. And his Sturridge is a fantastic player when he's fully fit. But he had to be in his mind 100% fit. You know, if you ask any other English player or whatever, you know, when are you fit? You're fit for the first game of the season, and after that, you're never 100% fit. You've always got a niggle. And most people run it off. But Sturridge has got this reputation, whether it's been at Chelsea, whether it's been at Man City. You know, he has had a reputation of maybe missing too many games. We don't know what it is. You know, he may well have this serious injury. We don't know about it. But I think it's getting to the stage now that, you know, Liverpool fans are getting fed up with it. You know, they know what he can do. He's a fantastic footballer, but they need to see more of it, and they can't afford, especially when Ings out injured as well. Sometimes you have to push yourself through and go through that pain barrier and say, the team need me.
Yeah, but on the other hand as well, though, Graham, he's got to seriously think about his, not only his club future now, depending on which club he might go to if he does leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to think about his England career.
Yeah,
he's probably the way he's carrying on now, he'll probably miss this year's World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Through injury, and then obviously, you know, whichever club he's got to go to, then they'll be thinking the same, because then there's another 4 years. I don't know how old he is. So, you know, where Danny Ings, I think he's got that in his locker. He's got his age in his side. Where Sturridge hasn't.
Brilliant point, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. Great to chat with you.
Thanks, Steve.
Just thinking about players that are injured and the pain barrier they play through. We had the boxers in the other day. Tony Dodson broke his hand in the second round of his fight last week and fought to the sixth round. And Tony Bellew, you know, said, "Oh, I went further than that. Half my hand almost came off."
We talked to somebody before, the young boy Flanagan. You know, and what it means to him, and he's desperate to play and run through brick walls. He's one of those sorts. You know, Daniel Sturridge is not. He's another one who needs to be 100% fit before he plays. Now, he might be right, he might be wrong. We don't know. We're guessing, we're surmising at things. But certainly, as a footballer, very rarely you're 100% fit, and you've just got to go on with it.
I totally agree with Graham. I think, you know, you play your first couple of games of the season, you might feel great. After that, you just do what you can to get on the field, whether it be strap-ins, even injections. You know, I had many injections to get on the field. Graham will be the same, especially now, you know, my generation before that. Mm. I think players now are scared to have an injection to go and play because they might do more damage. Back then, you know, the manager's coming to you, "Listen, we have an injection to play this game today. Will you do it for us? Will you do it for the team?" Mm-hmm. You just go and say, and you did it. You know, that's what happened. That was a different, you know, it might affect you later on, but that's what you did. These boys nowadays, they just want to sit in the dressing room, have a cup of coffee and, you know, and mess about on the phones.
We're going to take a short break here, and after that, we'll give you part one of our Look Who's Scoring. Aldo was catching up Sharpie. He got the last one right, I think. Yeah, Sharpie was disqualified on Monday.
Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Experts in motability. Search Williams BMW for their latest motability offers.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's 6:52. Welcome to the show. If you just joined us, Sharpie as always, Dominic Matteo's with us tonight, or Matteo. And, right, it's 21 years to the day since Liverpool broke the British transfer fee, paying £8.5 million for who?
Stan Collymore.
Good play by Collymore. It's away from two. Drives the ball in. What a goal! Stan's the man! And already Britain's record transfer at £8.5 million has begun to repay Liverpool's investment. And you'll go a long way all season to see a better goal. He stepped away 30 yards out from two Sheffield Wednesday players and with no backlift suddenly unleashed a brilliant curling left foot shot. Pressman beaten full stretch away to his right, and Anfield has erupted with a quite brilliant goal from Stan Collymore.
21. You can believe that's 21 years. That's like saying
I played that game, actually.
Stan played
that
game.
Yeah. Played that game.
How good was he?
Stan was great. He could have been, in my opinion, could have been better. Right. Yeah, he kind of had it all. I think if he's a little bit more, his mind at times could wander. You know, even he didn't really commit to the area. You know, he lived up still in Cannock, wherever he was from. Yeah. He stayed in that area. He didn't really commit. I think if you're going to move to a club, in my opinion, you've got to get a little bit closer. Yeah. That's like still an hour and a half, 2 hours away, and it drives every morning to Melwood. Mm. But
so he wasn't quite one of the boys because you were sort of that.
He kind of kept himself to himself. And then if there was anything going on, maybe in London or somewhere, he might have got involved. Yeah, yeah. Whereas you know the local lads would go out local kind of thing. But yeah. Stan kind of kept out of that bit.
I was going to ask a question. How would Liverpool fans see him
now?
No, as a player, how would they look back at him and his career? Would they call him a success? Would they call him?
Well, I think he's defined by that 4-3. He is a wasted talent, isn't he? Yeah. In many sort of ways,
I think he could have probably had a better career. He seemed to have it all. You know, he had two good feet. Mm. He's strong. You know, physical, he was quick. You know, I mean, you look at Forrest, he was terrorising people. Mm. But, you know, moved around a few clubs, right?
Mm. I just wonder why. You know, you look back at different players and different times, and they were saying it was a big money, £8.5 million at the time. Did he fulfil what people expected of him?
Oh, good value now. You look at that.
Oh, nowadays, yeah. But I'm saying in those days...
You're probably right. Liverpool, he was a wasted talent, wasn't he, to a
I think as well, you got Robbie Fowler as well. Came on the scene, you know, around that time. So he kind of stole the limelight from everyone. Right. And, you know, I know Stan scored some great goals, but him and Robbie up front was a decent partnership for a while. You know, the big man, little man kind of...
Well, probably one of the very best, in terms of a combination.
They scored a lot of goals, both with the pair of them. But definitely, I mean, obviously Robbie was... When he came in on that scene, he was on fire.
Let's give you a book away. We set the question before. Mm. Loads of people rang in for this. A signed Dominic Matteo book, in my defence. And we got Jerry in Irby on the line. Hiya, Jerry.
Hi, Steve. You okay, mate?
Yeah, thanks for ringing in for this one. So the picture we have, which Sharpie picked out here, was Dom in his... I still can't work out what uniform it is. But
his school uniform.
School uniform. And then who was it dressed as a girl, Jerry?
It was Rio Ferdinand.
It is.
He wasn't in fancy dress. He was in his usual clothes.
I didn't want to say that.
I love it. We are going to send this book to you. Fond memories of Dom in the red shirt, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, too right. No, great player. Used to love watching him.
I think when I left Liverpool, it was like I was kind of getting to my best, kind of getting regular games in the team. It was always felt like I left Liverpool a little bit too early. I was kind of getting regular games in the first team. Took me a while to get there. And then when I left, I probably went on and played my best few years of my career at Leeds in the end. But the season before I left was probably my best year at Liverpool. So, you know, in hindsight, I wish I might have stayed a bit longer. But I wanted to play football and Julio had different ideas. He wanted to bring Ziga in and play him. So I had to go and move on and play.
That's life. That's football.
It's football, mate, yeah.
I'm going to see you, Jerry. Jerry, very quickly, how did you find Colley Moore? How would you deem him a success at Liverpool?
Yeah, when you asked that question before, Graham, I thought he was a good player. That season when him and Fowler did, he score 57-odd goals together. Mm-hmm. And at that point, if you'd have asked me then you'd have definitely said yes. Mm-hmm. Could he have done more? Yeah, without a doubt, he could have done a little bit more, I think. Mm-hmm. I think around that team, there was a great camaraderie between the players.
Mm-hmm. Probably a bit too much.
You could see Stan Collymore wasn't part of that. And even when he comes back and does the radio with Talk Sports, you can almost feel as though he's not... He's always welcome back to Liverpool, of course he is, but he's not... If you look at Robbie Fowler or Steve McManaman and Dom and others, you know, it's the family where... Yeah, he was almost like an estranged son in some respects. Collymore,
top great man. Player, though. Jerry, we'll get this book out to you.
Thanks, Jerry.
No more cross promotion from you. Thank you very much indeed. Top man, enjoy your weekend anyway. Well done. I just want to pick up quickly on something at the very end because in Dom's book he's done a forward and an afterward. An afterword from Chris Moyles. I won't cross-promote his radio station either. But he says, I first met Dom 10 or so years ago. We've been introduced by a mutual friend called Rossi. Came in with Dom before. I would love to say as a Leeds fan, it was football that brought us together. That's a lie. It was booze. In fact, the fact that he was just a Leeds player was a bonus. We got on well, which was not a surprise. Oh, very, very good.
No, a good mate of mine. Chris.
Very, very good. Both good friends of yours. We'll get those sent out. Right, let's do the first of the look who's scoring for the evening. And well done to Jerry on winning that book. Mm. This is quite difficult tonight, so tell me who the player is. Former Liverpool player, born June 1972. I was born June 1972.
What's that make him?
I'm 43. So he's
43, yeah.
43. Signed on a Bosman transfer. And he played 54 games for the club.
Got it.
Go on, have you got it?
Steve Arnes.
Oh, no. You only get one guess. 54 games for the club. Ooh. You get one guess per section, I might say. In all competitions, and he didn't score a goal.
54 games. No, that could be Henry. Move on.
You're not having that. Oh, we've got to do the second clue, so we missed it off the first part. Representing his country once, And here's a quote from another player about him. So you do get one more guess in this one, Dom. It was sad to see John Scales go, but this lad is a good player, and I think he'll be a good replacement for him. I also think he'll be popular with the lads. He's quick. I remember training with him, and he was terrible to play against because he's tough. He also likes to take part in the attacking game. He's positive, and he's a good professional. So that's a quote from John Scales about this player.
No, no, it was a quote from John Scales.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. From another player about him.
He replaced John Scales.
There we go. Right. Let's just touch on some of the other stuff around the fans are talking about at the moment. Everton players, not for sale, apparently, at the moment. According to Roberto, he said $65 million it was touted this week for Romelu Lukaku. Is he going to hold on to these lads?
Well, I think
we talk about it week in, week out, don't we?
Well, I think he is. And, you know, I think who's been linked with Lukaku? Manchester United. Who in the right mind would go to Manchester United at this moment in time? They're up in the turmoil. You know, Van Gaal said he's quitting in 18 months, whatever it might be. So there's no long-term direction at Manchester United at this moment in time. So I don't think Rom would go there. £65 million is an awful lot of money, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if Rom would choose him. I honestly don't. I think he'd choose somewhere else. There's no guarantee to get into the Champions League. He wants to play Champions League football. Certainly in January, I don't think Envy's going. Summer, maybe a different thing.
Would you have a Romelu ahead of a Stan Collymore, interestingly?
At the moment, Romelu's on fire, isn't he? But it's difficult to compare different times of
contrast.
But,
but
at the moment, Romelu's on fire, isn't he? I mean, he looks
is he
like
£65 million? Is he?
Is that good value?
If
you score goals.
Yeah.
If you score goals, your price goes up. And we keep saying about the European Championships in the summer. If he goes to Belgium, has a good one, we'll just keep going up and up. You know, and they can listen, is he the best striker in the league? No. I think the boy Aguero is by far the best. But he's certainly there. If you look at his goals tally over the years, he's up there. So
I think it's amazing Chelsea let him go, in all honesty, considering you look at the faff that they've had and Falcao's and the players that can't score goals, and they had a ready-made man there.
But I think the fact was that the kid needed to play, you know, and he needed to play. And even when he went to West Brom and he did really well and went to Everton and did really well, there were still aspects of his game which needed improving, his touch and his hold-up play. And I don't think Chelsea were patient enough with him. They wanted the finished article there and then. He wasn't that. So it was a great bit of business from Everton to bring him on board because, as I said, he's been fantastic for us.
And what about this snub for Everton from Sam Byron this week? He's chosen West Ham over Everton. It clearly is a snub. Everton wanted him.
No. Dom would know Sam Byron more than most because they've been at Leeds and all that kind of thing. But for me, I'm not sure we needed them that much. You know, I think Seamus Coleman and everything else, I'm not sure if we could have guaranteed them game time. I think West Ham, with the right-back situation, will probably offer them more game time. And I don't think Sam Byram has snubbed Everton. I'm not sure if Everton were...
I think West Ham tried a little bit harder. And I think they took. I think apparently I've heard they took him to the new stadium, Olympic Stadium. Mm. That must have been a bit of a pull for him, to that stadium next season. Also, I think they've guaranteed him he's going to play. He's going to be in the team. I don't think Everton can guarantee him that. And that's one thing as a young boy, you want to go and play, you want to start. I think he's also got family in that area. I think he's from that kind of neck of the woods. But, I like the kid. I think he's a good player. I think Bilic has already said there's a couple of things he needs to work on. And to be honest, there is a couple of things he needs to work on. His defending, he's working his positional players, defender. But, I don't think it was a snub. I just think it was a career move. He's going to actually play in the team. I think Everton, Coleman's, for me, is a top player. I don't think he's going to get in ahead of him, and he wants to play fullback. So that's the reason why I think he chose West Ham.
OK, fair dues. 3 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're going to take plenty more of your calls after the break. 0151 4720 967. It's the Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and Dominic Matteo.
Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's have a little bit of commentary from a man who scored on this day 5 years ago. Not too many fond memories of a Russian misfit, maybe, in an Everton shirt. Remember any Russian misfits, Sharpie, in Everton shirts?
Here's Billy Letanoff. Wolves have made another error. Billy Letanoff running towards the penalty and left footed Everton.
Oh, what a goal!
An absolute cracker from the Russian. What a strike. Left footed, 25 yards. beats Wayne Hennessy, all ends up, and Everton are 3 up, and this game now is as good as over, because Everton are well on course for their fourth away win of the season, and that is an absolute cracker this time from Didier Billy.
Ah, there you go, Big Al revealing. Was he a misfit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Right, you two cracking your brains to try and find this look who's scoring. Former Liverpool player, born June 72, 43, like me, signed on a Bosman, played 54 games for the club, didn't score. And a quote from another player, sad to see John Scales go, but this lad is a very good player and I think he'd be a good replacement for him. I'll give you the final clue in about 5 minutes' time. Let's get to Neil, who's a Red, who's in the city centre. Welcome to the Legends, Neil.
All right, boys.
Hi, Neil.
Do you know the answer?
Is it Torben Pichnik?
It's a good answer. One.
That's
it's
a great guess. Yeah.
He got quite a few caps, didn't he?
Don't throw out any more. You've used your guess from this part. What do you want to talk about, Neil?
I'm glad Tom's on the show tonight because it's a left back problem, really, that I want to speak about. I've got two questions. I'm going to ask them one after each other. Albert Moreno or Brad Smith? And if it's Brad Smith at left back, like I think most fans are swaying to, how do you think Moreno would do on the left side? I was saying this to my friend Jonathan the other day, on the left side of a front three with Brad Smith behind him.
I mean, I like Brad Smith. I think you're right. I think I'm swaying that way at the moment as well. I think sometimes, but I've been watching left backs over the years now. I mean, when I played there, it was always like you're back to play up and you got forward when you can. Nowadays, you're more or less a winger. You're up and down that field. And I think you've got to pick and choose at times when you actually go, because for me, I see at times the fullbacks are that tired from the work they've done up the field. They can't defend properly. And I think at times Moreno's a little bit guilty of that. Mm. He's getting, you know, we're seeing now right backs crossing for left backs. I know that's great for fans to see it all at times, but defensively, you're leaving yourself wide open at times. But I agree with you. I'd take Smith, and I think Moreno probably could play a little bit further forward. It might suit his game better. He seems quite tricky. He seems like he could play in that area. So, yeah, I'd definitely go along with that.
Changed massively, hasn't it, the position?
It has, yeah. I mean, these guys now at the fullbacks, they're running as much, you know, they're as fit as the central midfield players, and they're covering as much ground or more.
You couldn't have done that, could you, Dom?
Probably not. Being honest, no. But no, I think, like I say, the game's evolved that much. I just like to see the guys choosing when to go a bit more rather than going just for the sake of it every time, you know, backing things up and putting crosses into the box, you know, wide lads playing them back and then the fullbacks delivering for the centre forwards. Because I think people like Benteke would appreciate that kind of service. You know?
Well, Moreno's created more chances than any fullback in the Premier League this season, amazingly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big into them stats because that could be all kinds of situations he's created. But I mean, so going forward, because I don't think his defence, I've got no confidence in him when players are running at him and he steps out of position because he's trying to get forward more. I just think with Brad Smith, the both of them overlapping, covering each other and going, it just seems like we'd be very solid defensively down there for the crosses coming in, because the crosses coming in are a major problem for us. And also going forward, Smith likes to get forward as well, and if one's forward, the other one goes. And you know, with the injuries in the team at the minute, it's a bit more, gives a bit more flexibility to the rest of the team than if you pull out the left winger there and put him somewhere else.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I think obviously Flanagan's played the left side as well a couple of times. I think the last game he played for Liverpool before he got injured was little left back. All that time ago, that was a bit of a different team, mind, with some better players. But
I think the loss of Flanagan alongside Suarez and Sturridge combined, that's a lot of energy, a lot of aggression, a lot of pace, a lot of passion out the team at once. Yeah. And we haven't ever recovered from that. But the absence of Flanagan has been badly, badly undermined. I think he's been a massive loss, and it was great to see him back the other night.
Yeah, I think it's a great boost for the kid as well, the reception he got. You know, if he can grab hold of that himself and go back and work hard in training. I mean, I don't think he'll start, obviously, tomorrow, but, you know, he'll definitely hopefully be on the bench or play off some part in the game or be around it. But, like you say, I think for the city and for the team, we need players like Flano in the team and around it, because he, like you say, brings that energy and that passion that a local lad brings that sometimes the other players don't bring, and we know
he can't bring.
He also brings atmosphere at home.
He does, yeah.
And at home, we haven't had this season that atmosphere.
Some of the tackles Flanagan threw in, it get you up off your feet after 10 minutes, suddenly it's like Gerrard used to do them now and again.
Yeah.
And it does, it gets everyone on his feet. And that's one thing that's missing from our team, big time. They're all, you know, the way the Man United players had a big bust up at half time on Sunday, I couldn't imagine our players doing that, because they're all nice guys.
I was saying that to you. I was saying that to you.
Put the Nivea on at half time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've said that a few times. I mean, obviously, when you know, we've been at different clubs over my career at half time, you know, people have each other by the throats and stuff. I was telling you about little David Thompson, smallest man in the team, but the most, you know, most aggression. If you're not doing your job properly, he would tell you, all right. And I said, I couldn't imagine players doing that now.
You don't? Especially in our team.
Exactly.
That's something we need to address in the summer.
What was your other point that you were making, Neil? You made two, didn't you? What was the other one?
I've made about four of you.
Covered them all.
Oh, there you go. You've gone on all bases. Great to hear from you, pal. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for your call.
Great call. Because it's an area that people are talking about at the moment. Brad Smith, you know, does Moreno do his defensive duties properly? And actually, the change in the way teams play. I know the other week we were going, great, back to 4-4-2. Look at Leicester. Leicester do it, 4-4-2. But only works if certain players do certain things, doesn't it, Sharpie?
Of course it does. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what the manager sets out. The players are responsible. You know, we talk about Everton conceding goals and people blaming the manager. It's not, it's the players. The players have got to take responsibility. What Dom says, the game has totally changed. Now, if you go into the dressing room and shout and scream, they'll look at you as if you've got two heads. You know, they don't like to be shouted at now. They're just left to their own devices, blah, blah, blah. It is. It's madness. It is absolutely madness. So, but I bet you if you were in that Leicester dressing room and everybody knew they had a job to do, and if they didn't do their job, they'd be out the next week. Yeah. No questions asked. You're out. You're not doing the job. Get out. We'll get somebody else to do it. So that's why they're getting performances like they're getting. Because they're all in it together, they're all fighting in the same cause, and they're working their socks off, and they're getting the plaudits they deserve. Whether they can keep up remains to be seen, but at the moment, fair play to them.
There are still some managers in the Premier League who'll be shouters, though, aren't there? Well, there's one or two, like...
I mean, I worked with Tony Pulis, and he was like that. You know, I'd said, on corner set pieces, if your man scored, there'd be a fine and stuff, you know, he'd put that into you, so... What, for whatever reason, seemed to mark your man a bit tighter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think with Tony, he works on stuff like that, and he will tell you if you've had a bad game. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Graeme Souness was a bit like that at times. You know, if you had a bad game, he'd tell you. If you had a good game, he'd tell you. But, you know, I think sometimes a bit of honesty from players.
But you knew where you were,
Yeah, but I think there's best players. You'd rather know if you had a bad game or not. But rather than nowadays, players go away thinking they've done all right. Yeah. They've actually played poorly. Yeah. And I think nowadays, I'd rather know where I stand.
Mm-hmm. OK, let's get back to the lines. We're going to Prescott. Phil's a blue. How are you, Phil?
Hello, mate. Hello, lads.
Hello, mate. Phil. Hi, Phil.
Just turn your radio down a little bit, Phil. Can hear that in the background, if that's all right.
That's the TV, then.
Oh, is it the TV? You've got Sharpie on TV as well.
It's not right for some, is it?
Right, just want to pick on 2 points there. Sharpie, I'll pick on the first one, because you've just ended on it by saying it's not the manager's fault for conceding goals.
Yeah.
Right, what I want to say about that is, no, it's not. You're quite right. But it's the manager's fault and the way he still wants to play 85 minutes onwards where we've lost points. Because what's wrong with Rosehead making a sub, going down, fastening your lace, running around like some teams do, rolling around? Yeah, you'll get criticised for it. But let's get it right. 3 points is big in any game. Now, we've dropped so many this season, haven't we, mate?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Phil, but what I'm saying to you is, so if the ball comes to me, and we're winning 3-2 with minutes to go, and it's coming to me, my mindset is, I'm getting rid of it. I don't care. I'm not looking to see whether the manager has told me to get hold of it and pass it out. And I know me as a defender. I know my job is to defend the goal, so I'll get rid of it. Okay. So the manager, you know, will want his team to play, but sometimes players have got to take the responsibility to do the right things. And I'm just thinking the goal against Chelsea... De La Feo was at fault. You know, he gave the ball away very early, late on, when he should have just knocked it into the corner and tried to get a throw in or whatever, but he tried to take the boy on, lost possession, and that's where the third goal came from. Now listen, they're young, inexperienced players making these mistakes. Hopefully they will learn from them, but I just think that what you're saying about the manager wants to play this way, and I've said it all week when I've been speaking to people, when you go back to David Moyes, and David Moyes would nick 1-0s. You know, when we were winning 1-0 and we were under pressure and we were sitting back, the fans were demanding us to push forward. They're dropping too deep. We're inviting pressure. Get forward. Let's go for another goal. This manager's now changed it full circle, where he wants to play and score goal after goal. So there's no happy medium. Like, Moisey was criticised for defending a 1-0. Martinez is getting criticised for not closing games out. It's crazy.
I think as players, though, Graham, you know, you've got to take responsibility on the field. When you're 3-2 up, you get the ball into the corners, you get the team pushed up the park, and you finish the job off. I think that Everton and a lot of other teams, Liverpool is, and a lot of teams in the Premier, are guilty of not seeing games out properly. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they're overplaying or whatever, but I agree. You've got, as players, though, you've got to have a little bit of know-how yourself, and you don't have to always come for the manager.
Yeah.
What do you think, Blue, about... what do you think, Phil? Sorry, Blue. Sorry, pal, what do you think about that?
I've been called Blue before. So yes. No, in all fairness, you know, it's about shutting the game out.
Yep.
And I agree with Sharpie that the players have got to take their point. But equally, you know, he's got to be talking to... He talks to him on a daily basis. Look, lads, if we get to this point in the game or that point in the game, you do X, Y and Z. Now, the other point I was going to pick up on, the kid that's just gone to West Ham instead of coming to Everton.
Yeah.
Am I right that he went for 4.5 mil or thereabouts?
Yeah, 3.5.
3.5, yeah. 3.5, I think.
No, okay. Now, it's not rocket science, mate. We give £4 million for Alan Lennon. This is a 22-year-old kid that everybody's raving about. Mm. And, you know, why can't... Well, I don't know what the protocol was behind it. Okay, we couldn't promise him instant first-team football. Mm. We couldn't with Garbutt. I mean, I think... You know, we all know the situation behind that. To get a 5-year deal off that kid, we have to send him out to keep him at the club. That's okay, I'm okay with that. But my problem is, there's a kid that's got a choice of Everton or West Ham. Now, people will say, well, he wanted to go near the home or whatever. It was a gift. £3.5-4 million
No, I agree with you, Phil. You know, I mean, I know the kid. I've watched him a lot at Leeds, and I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if he went on at some point to play for his country. And I think you're right. I think he is cheap in this market, in this day and age. And I think maybe Everton should have tried a lot harder to get him because he can cover right side of midfield and full back, and he's got a lot of potential. And like you say, when you're paying £4 million for Aaron Lennon, you know, he seems a snip. Sam Barham at 3.5.
Phil, great points. Thank you very much indeed. Do you want to pick up on that before we move on?
No, I was just going to say that the situation was the boy had a choice.
Yeah.
And he's chosen West Ham. I think he would have loved to have come to Everton if he was going to play more, but I don't think he was going to play. And as Dom said as well, he was going to replace Seamus Coleman. So he had a choice to make. You know, but the choice he had was to play regularly at West Ham, which I think he'll do. So it's a no-brainer for me, but I'm not sure he'd... And I think for the future, yes, but I think at the time the boy needs to go and play football. It's not used to the boy coming to Everton and playing 5 games a season, or 6 games a season, and he can't get in because of Seamus Coleman.
So I think to be fair, Sharpie, I know knowing the credit a little bit, he did want to play fullback.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to play right side. He did play there for Leeds quite a lot, but he wants to play right back. That's him, and he's better coming onto the ball than he is like trying to beat players. So I think it was that decision.
Well, he's not going to push Seamus Coleman.
But the thing we talk about Stephen Naismith very quickly, they said about Stephen Naismith, he wants to play football.
Yeah.
He's another young lad who's come in who wants to play football. He doesn't want to just sit on the bench and watch Everton every week and with Seamus Coleman playing. He wants to play. So he gets the opportunity at West Ham. Fair play to the kid.
Okay, let's finish off. Look who's scoring. You guys have shot wide a couple of times.
Look who's scoring. You said he hasn't scored for Liverpool.
It's just the name of the game, Sharpie. Don't be pedantic about things. Look who's scoring. And if Dom gets this right, it levels it up. It's 3-3-3 in the competition.
No, it's not. It's
Reds
not.
And Blues. Right, so shout it out if you know the answer. Former club is Rosenberg.
Cavani.
You said that at the beginning.
I said it first, actually, yeah.
He said it right at the beginning.
I thought he played more games for his country than that.
Yeah.
Did he say Cavani?
No, he said it to me.
No, he said it to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I made a high-profile mistake in the Merseyside derby. Dan Akadamatri took the ball off him, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, went round Razor and...
He was a quiet lad.
Yeah?
Yeah, didn't really get involved much, but good kid. Solid enough, yeah.
Yeah, good question, solid that.
Enough. Yeah, it was a good question.
43 years old, had the boys racking their brains.
Is that levelled it up now?
Yeah, 3-3, Reds against Slough. Sharpie was cheating earlier this week. Massively cheating, to be honest. It was horrible, the tactics he used. But 3-3, let's speak with Dale Tempest. Skybet's top man, and he joins us now to tell the boys why their tips are going so badly wrong.
You can't say that. Aldo had a winner last week.
He did. He got 3, didn't he?
Yeah. He picks the 3 shortest price teams in the country, and he usually does all right. Hull 1-3, Spurs 1-3. Swindon were 2-0 down against Crewe, and he still managed to sneak a 4-3 win in the last minute.
And let me tell you, Dale, I had 2 of those teams, and I had to change them because Aldo was first up.
It's true, isn't it? I remember last week.
Yeah. I don't believe that.
No, I'm telling you.
It was like schoolboy copying.
Two, was it, Ipswich and Morecambe?
Yeah.
It was a tough one for you last week.
Morecambe won, but I also had the two that Aldo had, so I should have won as well.
Look
but being the honest fella, I'll give the credit to him.
Hey, if you thought Aldo was good there, we brought in some real brains tonight. Dominic Matteos. Dominic Matteos. You know, he's got his head screwed on. He's hoping for 3 out of 3.
Oh, well, I'll tick off Leeds at home in Bristol.
Yes, I've got that as well.
Tick it off, mate. Tick it off.
Yeah. Right, go on, boys.
Right, I've got this. I'm going for 3 in the Championship, Dale. I've gone for Cardiff to beat Rotherham,
so have I.
Leeds to beat Bristol, and Bolton to beat MK Dons.
Ooh, Bolton. MK Dons have had a couple of results at home, haven't they? But say away from home, they've just struggled a bit. Cardiff won, you're looking around even money. They've been all over the place, Cardiff, haven't they? The loss at home to Shrewsbury in the FA Cup was a major shock there. But, yeah, I think the 10 to 11 or around that price there should be okay. Was it Leeds, you say, the other one?
Yeah,
Leeds, Bristol City. They've got a good record against them. I mean, the only problem slightly for Leeds is you've got a couple of players like Byram, all the talks about where are they going, you know. Is it Everton? You boys can probably tell me.
No, he's gone to West Ham.
Oh, is it done to West Ham? It's gone through, has it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that can't help Leeds, that's for sure. But, yeah, you'd think they'd be capable. Imagine Bristol City beat Middlesbrough. Where did that come from?
Dale, you were doing well before he started coming up with this. Just leave it as it is.
You give the teams, and then Dale all of a sudden goes, he's looking down his list, and then he goes, oh, why is he doing that? Dom, quickly, you've got a minute, Dom. Tell him what you want.
I'm
going
to go for Watford at home to Newcastle.
Ooh. Go on.
I'm going to have Cardiff at home to Rotherham.
Yeah.
And I'm going to change from Leeds to Middlesbrough at home because I think they need to follow up getting beat last week. I think they'll win tomorrow at home.
Good teams, good players usually react after that disappointment. Mind you, was it first goal conceded in 10?
It was,
the worst thing to be happening, is it? Yeah, 8 to 13 at home to Forest there. As you said, Cardiff around 10 to 11. Watford 11 to 10. Interesting, that one. And Newcastle, John Joe Shelby, will they just turn the corner a bit? They were much better against West Ham last week, but we shall see. Fingers crossed for you, gents. You both got two winners.
Deal, very, 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 very quickly, we've run out of time here. What's the odds on Stephen Naismith to score against Liverpool tomorrow?
No chance.
I've got a yellow card about 1-3 odds.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Dale. Dale Tempest from Skybet. Didn't get time to tell you about my meeting with Jurgen Klopp. We'll have to save that one.
That's all you've been speaking about since I've come in this afternoon.
Dominic Matteo, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure,
great to have you on.
Thanks, boys.
We'll have you back at some point. Mate. We'll certainly analyse your bets on Monday night.
Yeah, all day long.
That's the big one. You boys, are you watching some footy tomorrow, Dom? Are you?
Yeah, I watch the Liverpool game, home of the family, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, that'll
tough
be nice.
Game, tough game, though.
Norwich away. Yeah, it is. Sharpie as well, your weekend?
We've got a game Sunday. Tomorrow I'll probably watch Norwich, Liverpool, and then I'll go and watch my lad at Marine.
Oh, brilliant. That's nice. Chaps, thank you very much indeed. St. The Snod's back this weekend, although I think Gary Gillespie's on the bill tomorrow. So Gary Gillespie alongside Mr. Snowden from midday on Radio City Sport, and the legends will be back on Monday night, as always, at 6:30. See you then.
Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Save up to £8,000 on a brand new delivery mileage BMW.